Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 8 to 22. The episode of the Hebrew slavery. Now, right from the start, right from the time of the Exodus of Israel from Egypt under Moses, right from the start of Israel's history, God had made it a law and part of his covenant with Israel that no Hebrew slave should be kept in perpetual bondage. Verses 12 to 14. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I made a covenant with your forefathers when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I said, every seventh year, you must free any fellow Hebrew who has sold himself to you. You must let him go free. Freedom was a very big issue with God. Freedom was part of the glory of the Exodus, freedom from the house of bondage. But Israel did not listen. It had not heeded. God had given his word, Deuteronomy 15, for example. Don't keep them, these slaves, in perpetual bondage. But for a long time, the Hebrews had ignored the covenant, had ignored the law, and they had broken that law. And verse 14, they had not kept that law. Your fathers, verse 14, however, did not listen to me or pay attention to me. But recently, verse 15, recently you repented and did what is right in my sight. Repeated there in verse 15, but it comes in verses 8 to 10 as well. Yeah. King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to proclaim freedom for the slaves. Everyone was to free his Hebrew slaves, both male and female. No one was to hold a fellow Jew in bondage. And so all the officials, verse 10, and all the people, they agreed and they set their slaves free. Very wonderful thing, and God had mercy upon them. You see, this is the days of the Old Covenant. The people were obedient, and God blessed them. The Babylonians had gone back from them. But now, recently, verse 16, recently you had repented, but now you even made a covenant, but now, verse 16, you made a covenant with these slaves. You made a covenant with yourselves before the Lord in the temple. But now, verse 16, you have turned round and profaned my name. Each of you has taken back the male and female slaves you had set free to go where they wished. You have forced them again to become slaves. You've gone back on your word. Verse 11, but afterwards they changed their minds and took back the slaves they had freed and enslaved them all over again. So they had broken God's covenant in the beginning. They had repented, turned round, changed their minds, made a covenant with God and with themselves in the temple, and they were going back to the word of God, and now they've gone back upon that. Therefore, says God, verse 17, therefore, you have not obeyed me, you have not proclaimed freedom for your fellow countrymen. So now, and then God uses a wordplay on the word freedom. I'm going to bring you into freedom. I'm going to bring you into the freedom of the sword, the plague, and the famine. I'm going to bring you into the freedom of slavery in Babylon. You profaned my covenant. You profaned your own covenant. You've gone back upon your own word. And Jerusalem will fall to the Babylonians. I will bring the Babylonians back. Verse 21, I will hand Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his officials over to their enemies who seek their lives, to the army of the king of Babylon, which has withdrawn from you. I will bring them back to this city. I'm going to give the order. I will do it. I will do it. This is your transgression of the covenant, and I'm going to bring it back home to you. You've transgressed my covenant. Now you've transgressed your own covenant. You cannot keep your word. Of course, this is just one example in the long history of Judah and Israel with them. They have times of repentance, they have times of reformation, but the general course is decline and sin and descent into apostasy. Right from the times of Moses, then into Joshua, and then into the book of Judges in particular, and the long, long history of Israel going away from God and transgressing his word. A general decline, but seasons of repentance, some reformation, some good kings in Judah, the prophets raised up, and sometimes they have success, but usually they do not. Is there a lesson here for us? We can be hearers of the word, James 1, but it's the doing of it. I challenge myself. We make our vows to God. We must keep them. God expects us to keep his word and keep our word with him. It's a warning to us, a challenge to us. Are the evangelical churches going away from God, bringing in worldliness? I think they are. Is there a price tag attached to this? There is. It's no good us promising to walk with God. We must perform the word too. We must keep our stance with God. You see, this is a typical example of the people of Israel. They promise well, they got fine words. They do it for a bit, and then they peter out and they fail. Oh, is this not too often repeated in the Christian life? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is all that gone? May we be growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ and perpetually pressing on into obedience under the law of Christ, gladly from our hearts, full of love for him, serving him, delighting to please him. And even in old age and infirmity and trial and loneliness, may we still press on, keeping the faith, pressing on to the glorious finale. 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I've completed it. Oh, may we reach that place too. Well done, good and faithful servant. You may not be successful, but you have kept your word because you have kept my word, above all my word. But even when your promises have been made to me, they've not been pie crust promises made to be broken. May it be that we keep our word before God. May we not just be sayers, but may we be doers also, for Christ's sake. Amen.